Sunday morning, you're listening to Twyla Southall and LJ Renee with What Does the Lord Say? This is Christian Talk Radio, here to challenge the status quo. If you keep doing what you're doing, you'll keep getting what you're getting. But if you want to see a change, if you want a spiritual revolution, if you need a spiritual renewal, stay with us. We are here to inspire, to inform, and to challenge you to consider what does the Lord say regarding life's issues. Visit our website for information on how you can join us for morning prayer, access previous podcasts of this broadcast, or you can even now access and download this podcast in iTunes. There is also information to follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, or even sponsor this show. Visit our website at www.whatdoesthelordsay.com. We would love to hear from you.
Sunday morning.
Good Sunday morning.
You know, Twyla, have you ever had those situations that happened and that it looks like all the odds are stacked against you? It looks like you cannot win in the situation at all. It just looks like you might as well just go on and hang your head, turn around and leave, because you hear the enemy in your head saying that you're just not going to make it, that it's just not going to work out for your good. And then what happens is God steps in, intervene in the situation, and then there you are. You have the victory from the Lord. Have you ever had those situations that ever happened to you?
You know, too often, because those are the trying of our faith. It's the tests that try our faith, that come to see if we really believe all this stuff we're telling you, if we really will live by the words that we speak to others, if we just read the Bible as a story that happened to someone else, or we take it as the living gospel of Jesus Christ to be applied to our lives, to be lived out every day. And that is the trying of our faith. And unfortunately to me, I have those things happen all too often.
But the thing about it is this: it is the God factor, the one that influenced the situation to bring out the outcome to your favor. It's the God factor, that specific something, that just that quality that is added to a situation that brings you to the point of victory. That's what we're going to talk about. It is the God factor.
It's that thing that comes to remind you that what you're going through was not by chance. It was not, you didn't just happen upon it, but it was intentionally designed for your life by the hand of God long before the earth was laid, long before the foundations of the world were laid. God had decided how your day would go today.
Absolutely.
And you are walking out that destiny. And so it looks chaotic and it looks confusing and it looks like somebody just threw the paint up against the wall and this is your life. But the truth be told, he planned out
every day
of your life.
That's right. It's that unpredictable influence that brings out the result, that works in your favor. It is that unpredictable influence, and that unpredictable influence is God. You know, oftentimes we think God should come one way, but he doesn't come the way we think he should come all the time. But he comes just right on time. And when he enters in the situation, he always turns it around to your favor.
You know, I do a lot of what we call contingency planning. It's when you plan for things in the event that certain things happen. You plan how you're going to deal with it. You plan for risk. People that are in insurance, you know, it's a lot of contingency planning. They plan against the catastrophe. They plan what's going to happen. You know, they tell you to, in case of a fire, make sure you've already planned your way of escape. You know, when we do projects and so forth, we plan what's going to happen if this risk is realized, if it becomes an issue. We do a lot of contingency planning. In the life of the believer, unfortunately, we do a lot of contingency planning, but we sometimes forget, as you said, to remember the God factor. So yes, my back is up against the wall. Yes, there's more bills than I have money to pay. Yes, the enemy is stronger than me if I stand in my supernatural strength. Yes, this is more than I can bear alone, but you need to factor in the God factor. Yes, my enemy is stronger than me, but greater is he that is in me than he that is in my enemy.
Amen.
I mean, yes, the enemy has gathered themselves against me, and they are a great host against me, one that I cannot overcome. But the Bible says, though a host should encamp against me, as long as I put my trust and confidence in God, I don't have to be afraid. You got to add in the God factor. I know what the world has said. I know what the naysayers have said. I know what your enemies say. But what does the Lord say? And that is the God
factor. And you know what? It brings me to the point of 2 Kings 19 when we're talking about Hezekiah, when the king of Assyria had sent his errand boys to tell them that we're going to overtake you. Who do you think you are? I mean, the king of Assyria was standing up, had his errand boys sending them to Hezekiah, telling them that just like we overtook the other nations, just like we have enslaved them, we're going to enslave you too. I mean, he sent his errand boys time and time again to intimidate Hezekiah. And Hezekiah did all he could to appease this king, to keep the king off of his back.
That's your first mistake.
That's the first mistake. And that's exactly what we do sometimes. We resort to other measures in order to keep our enemies at bay.
You give them hush money. You know, I'm gonna pay you to keep quiet. I'm going to appease you so you don't tell.
And the thing about it is this, a person that blackmails you,
they have an insatiable desire.
You can give them all the money they ask for, but give them some time. They're going to come back for more. And if you give in one time, you're going to have to give in two. And that's the reason why where Hezekiah found himself at. I mean, Hezekiah was scared to tell you the truth. He was scared that just as the Assyrians had done to the other nations, that surely they were going to fall the same way. So what did Hezekiah do? He went before the Lord. Matter of fact, the king even sent the letter.
First, he gave in to the demands of the king of Assyria, and he began to strip the silver and gold from the house of the temple of God, and he paid them off.
But this is the thing. Before, when Hezekiah, when he first came to be a king, the Bible said he served the Lord faithfully.
He tore down
the high places. He tore down the groves. He tore down the idols. He obeyed the commandments of the Lord.
And his legacy is still that he is a godly king.
He's a godly king. But something happened between that time and the time that he decided, well, here come the king of Assyria again, wanting something. He said basically what he was saying in his heart. Listen, I'm going to give him the gold in the temple. I'm going to give him the gold off the doors. I'm going to do whatever I can to appease him. I'm going to go to Egypt. I'm going to go to someone else to have faith in their armor, what they can do, in their resources, that they can protect me. But he did not consider God at first. He began to start working his own plans.
And you know what? He really had a fallacy in that thinking, because when he came in, as you said, he began to cleanse the temple of God. He began to tear down the high places. He was a godly king.
Godly.
But the thing that he didn't realize is that the reasons why those high places were there, the reason why they were steeped in idolatry, is because the people of Israel had failed to be obedient to the command of God. When God says, drive out your enemy, destroy them, kill them, don't have them in your camp. Don't marry them. Don't take them for wives and take them for husbands. And they did anyway what the Lord told them not to do. And what happened is that cancerous spirit of idolatry began to take hold within their camp, because a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And that is what he was falling prey to if he's not careful. He began to pay off the enemy, thinking I could just pay him and he'll go away. But that's really how the enemy was trying to get a stronghold into the camp once again. You know, the enemy had been put out because Hezekiah cleaned up the place. But the enemy is coming
now. Always find another way in.
Those little foxes, like we talked about last week.
Right.
He's trying to come through the king of Assyria, get a footing in the door. This is a good man, a godly man. man, but we know his weaknesses, and the enemy is always going to try to tempt you at your point of your weakness. Hezekiah wanted to have peace, and he was willing to pay for the peace, but he didn't know that you can't negotiate with your enemy. That's why the United States has a policy, a long-standing policy. We do not negotiate with terrorists, because once you do it one time, they keep on coming back. And Hezekiah found out as soon as he gave the king all the gold and the silver, they wanted more. They didn't hold to the promise they had made him. So he realized this apparently is not the right solution.
That's right. So eventually he goes to Isaiah, who is the prophet in the land, and began to say, do you have a word from the Lord for me?
Because this that I'm doing is not working.
He said, we've come to the birth, but we don't have the strength to deliver. Meaning we're at a crucial moment right now, and we don't have the strength to overcome our enemies. Do you have a word from the Lord? And that's where really he should have been in the first place. But yet he went around, and that's the way we are sometimes. We go and do things the way we understand on how to do them.
And then we make a mess of it.
Then we come back to God, and God says, that's okay. He said, because I'm going to use this situation anyway. It was like he said, that's all right. I'm going to use this anyway. Matter of fact, I'm going to send the enemy back to you. And this is what happened.
The truth is, I was using the king of Assyria all along.
And the king of Assyria, with his prideful self, his arrogant self, he thought he was God. Matter of fact, he even quoted a scripture back to Hezekiah and told him, he said, you know, you up here trusting in your God. Is that the God you're talking about? Is that the same God where you have torn down the groves and the idols? Is that the same God you're talking about now? He said, but you haven't run up against nobody like me. And so then, therefore, in the scripture, that's where it comes about when God began to start speaking to Hezekiah. He begins to start speaking to Hezekiah to tell the king. And this is what God is saying to the king in 2 Kings 19 and verse 22. I'm going to start there. And this is what God said to the king of Assyria, because the king of Assyria was insulting God. I mean, it was like, who is this God you talking about? I'm bigger. I'm God. You better bow before me.
Just like Goliath was doing
to David.
But David interpreted it properly. He's not insulting me. He's insulting my God.
Well, this is what God said. God himself spoke and said this. He says in verse 22, he said to the king of Assyria, I want you to know this. He says, who do you think it is you have insulted? He said, who do you think you've been bad mouthing? I mean, it's just almost like when he told Job, he said, stand up like a man. And so God says, who do you think that you've been bad mouthing? Before whom do you suppose you've been strutting? The Holy One of Israel. That's who. I mean, when God began to speak to you and began to uncover, I mean, I can imagine that this king was shaking in his boots. He says, you dispatched your errand boys to humiliate the master. You bragged, with my army of chariots, I'll climb the highest mountains, snow peak, alpines, Lebanon mountains. I've cut down its giant cedars, chopped down its prized pine trees. I've traveled the world, visit the finest forest retreat. And it says this, I've dug wells in faraway places and drunk their exotic waters. I've waded and splashed barefoot in the rivers of Egypt. And this is what he's saying. This is the God factor. He said, did it never occur to you that I'm behind all this? The God factor. Did you ever consider that it is the God factor that turned this thing around? Did you ever consider that it is God who is all powerful and all knowing? And then it says this, it says, long, long ago, I drew up the plans. Now, this is God saying, come on now. He says, I'm the one that sent you. You don't even know it, but you're going to have to pay for the deeds that you've done to my people.
And that's what we need to always be mindful of. We think that God is drawing up a reaction plan, a contingency plan to our circumstance. We think that when we pray to God, that we are informing him. The truth be told, every prayer you ever prayed to God, you have not told him anything he did. Didn't already know. You are not informing him of anything. He is the all-knowing, omnipotent King of Glory, and he is not devising your exit plan, your deliverance plan today or when you make your prayer known to him. He came up with that before the foundations of the earth were laid.
You know, God is all powerful. I remember in one of the scriptures where he said that he's going to send forth a lying spirit. I mean, to confuse the enemy. I mean, God can do whatever he wants to do. It's God that purposed every plan. And then he says, now I'm gone into action. But this is what he told the king. He says, using you as a doomsday weapon, reducing proud cities to piles of rubble.
In other words, you're just a pawn in my hand.
That's exactly what it means. You're just a pawn in my hand. And so God is even saying that even to you right now that are faced with situations that look like it's impossible to overcome. I mean, you have sought counsel with other people. You have sought counsel. You have depended on other resources. You are tearing out your hair trying to figure out what you're going to do. You're worried to the point where you're losing sleep. But God says, consider the God factor. Consider that I am God. Consider that I'm the one that has the action plan. I'm the one that had planned this thing long ago. Why? Because you needed to come to me. You didn't know it, but I'm going to show you. You needed to come to me. Listen, it's no sense you consulting other people because I have the answer. I have the plan. Consider me. I have what you need that will turn the results around to your favor.
And you need to know and have full confidence that it is intentional. The circumstance you're dealing with, the battle you are facing, the dilemma that's in your life, it has been intentionally set there by the hand of an all-knowing, all-powerful, and all-merciful God. All things are working together for your good. It is intentional, and God is never failing.
All things are working for my good, yeah, 'cause he's intentional, never failing. I know that all things are working for my good, yeah, 'cause he's intentional, never failing. All things are working for my good,
intentional.
Hey, and he's never failing.
Never failing.
All things are working, for,
things
my
are working for my good.
He's intentional.
He's intentional.
He's never failing.
Never failing.
All things are
all
working.
Things are working,
hey,
for
I know
good.
That all things are working.
All things are working together.
All means all.
And all means all, nothing lacking. That all things are working together for your good. And you know what? Even as I go on to read the scripture of what God was telling to the king of Assyria, it just blows my mind the power that God used to deliver Hezekiah and the people out of the king Assyrian's hands. You know, in this part in the scripture, Twyla, it talks about God goes on to even explain even the more how he knew this king. And even though the king didn't factor that God knew him and that God's power was the one that was driving him to come against Hezekiah, he says this. He says, I know when you sit down, when you come, and when you go. And yes, I've marked every one of your temper tantrums against me. Now, I'm telling you, I know this is the Message version, but it just puts it right down to where we can understand the temperament, the mood of God as he's speaking to the king of Assyria. It says, it's because of your temper, your blasphemous foul temper, that I'm putting my hook in your nose and my bit in your mouth and turning you back to where you come from.
In other words, I am the Lord God, and I will have my way with you. You can sell your wolf tickets all you want, but when the rubber meets the road, you are just a pawn in my hand, and I will do with you as I will. Now who's selling wolf tickets? Now what you gonna say? What you gonna do with that? And you know, when we think about the God factor, some people consider God as the X factor because it's rare that you know how he's going to work. He says, your ways are not my ways, and your thoughts are not my thoughts. But the truth is, LJ Renee, he does tell us a lot of insight about his workings. We just find it really difficult to grab hold and believe. He tells us he's going to do the miraculous. He tells us he's going to overturn and uproot, and he's going to fix and mend and bind. He tells us he's going to do these things, but it's kind of hard to wrap your mind around them until you see him do it in your life. And the truth is, even when he does it in our life, we sometimes have to have God do it 3-4 times before we are confidently assured that in the fifth circumstance, he's going to do it just like he did in the first 4.
Remember this, that Hezekiah was faced with a problem and an issue. He went to Isaiah, the prophet in the land, and said, "Is there a word from the Lord?" And the prophet told Hezekiah that God, basically, that God was going to fight on his behalf.
And not to be afraid.
And not to be afraid. Then this is what it was. This is what got me, is that, And I pray that we hear this, because whenever we're faced with a situation that maybe we can do the same thing, you have to realize the king of Assyria wrote a letter and told his errand boys to give it to Hezekiah, telling them what he's going to do. So Hezekiah then takes the letter, lay it out before the Lord, and began to pray to God. And I really believe this is what we need to do when we're faced through situations and when the enemy begins to rail against us. And this is the prayer that Hezekiah said before the Lord as he laid the letter out while he was in the temple praying. In verse 14 and 15, it says this: "God, God of Israel, seated in majesty on the cherubim throne, you are the one and only God, sovereign over all kingdoms on earth, maker of heaven, maker of earth." I mean, he was worshiping God. He says, "Open your ears, God, and listen. Open your eyes and look. Look at the letter that the king has sent, a brazen insult to the living God. The facts are true." Listen, he's saying, "The facts are true, O God. The kings of Assyria have laid waste countries and kingdoms." So he's speaking that this is the fact. This is the truth. This is what has been done. He says, "Huge bonfires they made of their gods, and there are no God handmade from wood and stone." He said, "But now, O God, our God, save us from raw Assyrian power. Make all the kingdoms on earth know that you are God and the one and only God." And this is the prayer that that Hezekiah lifted up before the Lord, asking for the Lord's help. He was right at that point where he needed to be, right there.
And we need to do the same thing. You need to go to God and be as transparent as you possibly can. "Listen, God, I have watched this thing take out my loved ones and take out my friends. My body is racked with cancer or with sickness or disease, and I've watched my loved ones die of this same thing. I am sitting here, dear God, struggling to make ends meet, and I've watched others lose their house when they had the same circumstance."
All night long.
You give God all of it. You take God the foreclosure notice. You take God the diagnosis report. You take God all that they have sent to you in the mail, all that they have delivered to you when you went to the office. You give it out, you lay it out at the altar of God and say, "Lord, read this that I am reading. This is why my heart is beginning to tremble. But I'm giving it unto you, my Lord, my God, the maker of heaven and earth, the one that has all power in your hand. If you can do anything, dear God, won't you do this for me?" You got to be transparent and open and honest before the Lord. You hiding the letter
even
in your pocket.
Even if you have to cry.
Even if you have to cry.
Yes.
You hiding the letter in your pocket, thinking that if I don't look at the foreclosure, it won't happen. You haven't opened up the letter. Open up the letter. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Lay it out at the altar. That foreclosure notice isn't bigger than your God. That termination notice isn't bigger than your God. That layoff notice is not bigger than your God. That diagnosis from the doctor is not bigger than your God. When he said every knee shall bow unto his name, he meant every knee shall bow unto his name. That's the king of Assyria. That's the doctor that gave you the report. That's the mortgage company that sent you the letter. That's the employer that's trying to lay you off and fire you. Every knee shall bow. I'm not saying you've been 100% right, so you might need to start your prayer off with some repentance. Ask God for some forgiveness. Like Hezekiah, he messed up. I tried to pay the king off. I went a different way. I acknowledged, you know, I was trying to gain peace through buying it. God wanted to teach him a lesson that the only peace you're going to have is through the Prince of Peace. You got to come through me to have peace. peace. He said, I will make even your enemies to be at peace with you. But when you're trying to make peace on your own, it never works out. So take it to the Lord in prayer and watch God do a work that even you will be amazed at when you consider the God factor in your circumstance.
Absolutely. You know, even in the Bible, it talks about in the New Testament, it says, come boldly before the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace in the time of need. And there's another scripture that even he told Jeremiah, he says, is there anything too hard for me to do? I mean, God is speaking even right now, because you're looking at this situation that is impossible, that you've tried everything that you could in order for this situation to turn out for your good. But what you have not done is you have not considered the God factor. Your enemy is biting at your heels. Your enemy is trying to destroy your mind. He's trying to make you go crazy, but consider the God factor. Lay everything out before the Lord and begin to confess it before God and watch God move on your behalf. I mean, the God factor. Just as you were talking about, someone may have a notice where they're saying that they have to leave their home, and because you haven't paid your monthly payment on time and you are in the rear, but they did not consider the God factor. God can turn the heart of a king. There is nothing too hard for him to do. Consider the God factor.
Dear God, we thank you for this word, and may we, Father, hallelujah, always be mindful of what you can do through us, of what the power of God can accomplish through us. You said nothing shall be impossible to those who believe. So forgive us, dear God, for having neglected to consider what you will do and what you can do and what you have said you will do for and through us. Forgive us for having doubted. Forgive us for having not believed
yes.
you. And from this day forward, dear God, may we proclaim in our lives and over our circumstance what the God factor is. May our speech, dear God, be fully engulfed in the God factor. May our actions be such that we know there is a God fighting for us. May we, Father, live as though we know that you will intervene and you will work things out for our on our behalf. God, I thank you and I praise you. I thank you for that one that is struggling to pay their bills, that one that is in turmoil over the doctor's report, that one, dear God, that is struggling not knowing what they're going to do about the job that they think they're going to lose. Would you step in, dear God, and show them that when you intervene on their behalf, that you make all the difference in the world. I thank you that you don't do things the way we would do it. You don't do things the way we would hope you would do it. For our ways are not your ways and our thoughts are not your thoughts. But when you do it, God, you do all things well. So we commit this into your hands, my life, my circumstance, my dilemma, my issue, my disease, my circumstance. We commit it all into your hands and we say, have your God-like way in our life and be glorified. Even in this, we know that all things are working together for our good, because it is intentional and you are never failing. You are the God factor in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray.
Thank you for tuning in. You have been listening to Twyla Southall and LJ Renee with What Does the Lord Say? For information on this program, on how you can subscribe to or access previous podcasts of this broadcast, visit our website at www.whatdoesthelordsay.com. Until next time.